Seeing as we've been doing the whole book, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's not that long. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a sufferer and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, and not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but does show favour to the humble and oppressed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your fellow believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the glory, the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. You may have a sense that the presence of Satan is very powerful in our world at this time. And you could say that I'm being overly dramatic as well. But it seems to me that Satan does want to ruin God's world. He does want to destroy God's people. And he wants to harm everybody. And right now, those kinds of things are going on with great intensity across the world. I remember when we did the book of Revelation, you might remember that. And I found that a difficult book, because it seemed to tap into the anxiety and the what was happening in the world. And the series was called "Is This the End?" Because so many crazy things are going on right now. There is tension between superpowers. We have a pandemic. There's rising anxiety. There's this climate change challenge. There's an in the West. There's an accelerating movement away from a biblical worldview. There's destructive sin present in the church, diminishing the gospel. Peter, in his time, wrote this: your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I think he could say that was true for his time. As he looked at the time that he was living in, he read the actions of the Roman powers, the actions of the Jewish leaders, religious leaders especially, and the actions of councils and people in townships and their oppression on Christians. He read that as not just simply people find Christians irritating. He said, no, this work that you're experiencing is from the hand of Satan. And he is he's prowling, he's roaring, he's devouring. And that's why you experience what you're experiencing. Well, if it was true for Peter's time, I know this. The devil has not stopped prowling, roaring, or devouring. He is as hungry as ever to destroy the work of God. Nothing's changed for him. And his weapons are of two kinds, I think. One is that of a sneaky, slithering snake. These are the weapons of temptation, of accusation, making us fear that we don't have a place before God. It's the weapon of confusion, confusing our minds about what is true or what is a lie. It's the weapon of idolatry, turning people towards things that are not of God and letting them worship these things with their lives. It's the weapons of magic, trying to find ways, other ways of controlling a chaotic world. And then he has weapons that are also like that of a roaring lion. Powerful, forceful, destructive weapons. Weapons like when he dominates people through possession. You see that through the Gospels. Weapons like when he takes hostile people and he abuses and he persecutes and he destroys, he harms people, especially followers of Jesus. Weapons like when he takes societies and turns them on their head so that they become tools for sin, for oppression. Those are dominating weapons. And in all these things, for anyone who's sensitive to it, and Peter encourages us to be so, you can hear the roar. You can feel the destruction. At times you sense it more. It feels like the devil is padding closer and closer and threatening. And when that's the case, how do you stand? How do you stand? The devil is not an empty threat. I mean, we know this globally. It's not an empty threat to live in a country like North Korea, which I think is a demonic system. A system that is designed to oppress, persecute, diminish people, to reward the powerful. I think that is a demonic system. How is somebody possibly meant to fight against that? And then if we pull it right back to normal average people's lives, temptation is a real threat. The temptation of pornography is as strong as ever in the West, with access and use from the youngest of ages. The temptation of addictions is as strong as ever. For all of our education and all of our opportunity, the West is not immune to devilish kind of ways. And it would seem to me, being in the West, that our trajectory without God is frightful. That's what it would seem to me. If I move forward the paths that are being laid by the powers above us and our culture, I fear for nations like Australia. So how can you possibly stand when the enemy roars, when the enemy abuses, when the enemy devours? God is greater than Satan. He can release the oppressed. He can give people a way to escape temptation. He can use his people to work for good against the principalities, the powers, and the systems of this world. And Peter speaks directly to this. He encourages us to have a humble trust in the God of all grace so you can stand firm. He says here in verse 5 and 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." This phrase, "under God's mighty hand," says something firstly about us, doesn't it? It says that we are under his hand. We're not over him, we are under him. And that we come to God because we are made by him, we are made for him, and we are made to need him. And if you are to approach God, there is no way possible that he will let you be proud before him. He resists you if you're proud. He resists you if you do not acknowledge him as God, that you are made for him and that you need him. You can only come to God in humility. So we come under God, and it says something about God too, doesn't it? It says that God actually has a mighty hand. He is mighty. This phrase is used on the way God's mighty hand is the hand that delivered Israel from Egypt. The hand that secured triumphant outcomes in battle. And the hand that lifts up the downhearted. And Peter says that if you're going to be able to stand against this enemy that is prowling, seeking to destroy you, then the place you must start is in humility, in humble trust. And it's shown in two ways that he says here. "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." That you will trust God, that even if you're going through the worst things, in due time, he will lift you up. You've got to have patience with God. He will not work to your schedule. He listens to you, but he is going to work in his time. And humility is saying, "God, it's your time I'm waiting for, not mine." And the second thing that shows humility is that you will be casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. As you wait and as you suffer, as the devil, it seems, is attacking you and you feel like you cannot persist, you must know this: he cares for you. His delay is not because he does not care. His failure to do exactly what you ask him to do is not because he is not listening. Jesus teaches us over and over again, he cares for you. He cares for you. Far more than the birds and the grass of the field, he cares for you. So take that anxiety that you feel every day. Take that worry and that concern and cast it on him, because he cares for you. So when the enemy's prowling and people are suffering and every fiber in your being says, "Run," Peter says to you, "Trust, trust, trust, trust. Trust in the God of all grace." He began this letter by saying these words: "Believers, you are shielded through faith by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." God offers us, his people, protection. In the face of accusation, God declares that in Jesus there is no condemnation. When we are tempted, God gives us a way out of our temptation. When we feel alone, we can know that God is for us. We know this, that God is at work in us to will and to act according to his purpose. And Peter says this here: "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. this God of all grace, is for you. He is going to help you. He's on our side, and he is greater than Satan. And Peter knows what this means in his life. Do you remember when Jesus is about to go to the cross? Jesus says to him these words in Luke 22. Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Peter knows what it means to face temptation, to fall, but he knows what it means to see this answer of his Lord's prayer in his life, because his faith did not fail. God's mighty hand is also a tender hand. In another place, it says that a bruised reed he will not break. He can pick up the most bruised of souls and tenderly care. And when you turn to God in humility and in trust, you're going to find that God, the God of all grace, will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And all of this work in your life will mean this, that you can stand firm. And in fact, Peter makes it very clear in verse 6. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your fellow believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. With God's grace, you can be alert, you can be sober-minded, you can resist him, and you can stand firm. The God of all grace gives you exactly what you need to do these things. I don't know if you've found this in your life, when you felt defeated, when it feels too much for you. And then you go to God in prayer, and in that place of prayer, God energizes you. Helps you go another day. Sometimes I've had it where I have been so down and I've gone to God in prayer and come out of prayer just bursting with energy to do the next thing. I've had that this week. I have not had a great week for various reasons. And there are things that have brought me down, saddened me. It's been a hard week, hasn't it, Anne? For me, not for Anne. Well, because she's putting up with me. But Saturday morning, I had the opportunity to just kind of get to the beach a bit earlier than the assembly. And in prayer, God in his grace lifted me. I sat next to a brother who we were reflecting together on just how I'm tracking, and he gave me words that I needed to hear. And I see that as the God of all grace helping me resist him. I don't want to overstate it, but I'm not going to understate it. These battles in my mind and in our church, in our broader society, are actually of the hand of Satan. There are people I've met with this week that I know you are under the hand of Satan. There are things I've heard that are definitely from the pit of hell. And on my own strength, there's not enough. Not enough to get up and hope again. And I found that. I found that when I've been down and defeated, that God has met me. And sometimes it's not actually been any energy. But there's been a new focus. I haven't been energized.
I haven't come out of my prayer time skipping, but there's been actually a new focus, a new tenacity. That this is of God and this must be done. And my will says I must be obedient. And my will says I must resist. And my will says I must stand firm. And my will says to my body, you will do these things. Because I have a will. And under God, God is at work in me. So why? So I can will and I can act according to his purpose. And the reverse is true, by the way, that if I don't go to God, if I don't go to the God of all grace, then I do not have a will and I do not act and I am defeated. And Peter says to believers that if you're going to stand firm, then you must humbly trust. You must go to the God of all grace and you must then resist. You must say to your will, God has given you exactly what you need for this. You must say to your body, body, bend to my will. Paul says this in another place, doesn't he? He treats his body as though it were a slave. He beats it. No high-performing athlete wakes up in the morning and says, I'm too tired. I'm too tired and I'm not going to get out of bed. No, a high-performing athlete says, body, we are going to win by getting out of bed and doing this. Why is not the believer doing the same? Our run is fiercer than theirs. Our goal is greater than theirs. Our prize, our reward is more glorious than theirs. Have humble trust in the God of all grace so you can stand firm. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor and I feel sorrow. I feel when the enemy prowls and roars and devours. I feel it. I feel you when you are in those places. I have no tricks for you. I have no positive mindset for you. This is all we pastors have. Trust God, the God of all grace, and stand firm. I feel like I need to say this. There are many reasons why the coming months will be very anxious for our church and for our society at large. Next week, there are some big changes coming. You, the people of God, are people of hope, people who are able to be light in darkness, to give confidence to your friends and your family that don't have it. You are able to cast your cares on the God that you know cares for you. I want to say to this to you, church, is be rocks and be light. Rocks for people around you and be light for them. And do it because you've done this. You've been obedient to what Peter's encouraged us to do. Have humble trust in the God of all grace so you can stand firm. Let's pray. Our God, we just need to say this first. We are sick and tired of Satan having his way in our world. And we long for a day where justice is done, where he is torn down as the prince of the air, that his lies are shown for what they are, and that your truth will be revealed in its full, and that your justice will come upon us and shine on us, and that every crooked way and every deceitful tongue will be shown for what it is. We pray in Jesus' name that Satan will not have his way in our world, and that we would ask our King Jesus that you be king over this power, these powers that take place and rule and reign in people's hearts. That you be king over it, and that your kingdom will come, and that you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what we want to pray for ourselves is that we will not be pawns in Satan's game, but that we will be ourselves agents of God, people used by you for your freedom and liberty that is promised to us through Jesus Christ. Help us resist, God of all grace. Help us stand firm. Help us be light in dark places. Help us be a rock in shaky spaces. We pray that, God, you may take us who are so weak of ourselves and make us mighty. I want to pray especially, finally, for those who are experiencing suffering and challenge right now, who feel down and defeated. God of all grace, meet them. Meet them. Help them have patience and wait for your time. Help them cast all their cares on you. Help them, our God, stand firm. Have mercy, our Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.